This is Mary Harrison doing the oral history for the National Council of Jewish Women. This is August 8, 1994. Gabi Dimon is taking the notes, and we're interviewing Jane Epstein in her apartment on Margaret Morrison Street. Okay, Jane, I made a mistake. Would you please give us the address? It's not Margaret Morrison, and I'm sorry about that.
The address is 5023 Frew Street, FREW. Pittsburgh, PA, 152-13.
Jane, could you please tell us when you were born, names of your mother and your father, brothers, your sisters?
Okay.
All right.
August 28, 1911. The name of my mother was Beatrice Lehman Metzger. And the name of my father was Abe Metzger, M-E-T-Z-G-E-R.
Brothers and sisters?
None.
And where were you born, Jane?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
You named the name of the hospital or at home? Or?
At home, I was told.
Isn't that interesting? You know the name of the doctor? Or?
Oh, I haven't any
idea. And your mother and father? Died when?
Oh, many years ago. Many years ago.
And may I ask what your father did?
In the furniture business. Originally in the liquor business. When he first came to Pittsburgh, he was a New Yorker. And he was in the liquor business. And then my family, when they came to Pittsburgh from Ohio, came because they opened a furniture store. And then my father became part of the furniture company.
And the name of the company?
May Stern and Company.
And Jane, were your father and mother both born in Pittsburgh?
No, neither one of them.
And where was your mother born?
I think she was born in Cincinnati, but I'm not sure of that.
And your father?
My father was born in New York City.
And May Stern started when? At what point did it become May Stern?
Oh, early 1900s, but not in Pittsburgh, in Ohio.
And the name May and Stern came from?
From a cousin, David May. And Mr. Stern, I have no idea who he was.
Isn't that interesting? So the company was much older than...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We just went out of business here a few years ago.
When did it close down, May Stern?
We've been closed now, I think it's about 10 years.
And so your father started with May Stern?
Mm-hmm.
And then?
My uncle originally started the store.
And his name was?
Leo Lehman.
That was Leo Lehman. And Leo Lehman was from Pittsburgh?
No. None of them were from Pittsburgh.
But he settled in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
true.
Okay. Where was he?
He only settled in Pittsburgh because he came here to open the store.
Okay.
And then he brought the rest of his family to Pittsburgh, his mother.
And where was
and
Leo?
And his brothers and sisters.
And where was Leo Lehman born?
Somewhere in Ohio, I'm not
somewhere
sure where, probably Cincinnati or Dayton, either one of those places. I'm not sure which.
So... I'm trying to get the whole chronology of the relationship. Your husband was Leo Lehman's.
No relation.
No,
no,
no relationship at all. Okay.
No.
All right. And your father, your
my husband.
No, not your husband. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm still with your father. I'm sorry.
What about him?
Your father worked
at May Stern and Company.
Okay.
Originally.
All right.
Originally, he sold liquor. In a horse and wagon in this part of Pennsylvania, so I was told.
Isn't that interesting? So he just sold it in a horse and buggy? There was no name of a company?
Yes, I think it was called Adler and Company.
And that's how they distributed, or that's how they
that's
sold?
That's right. That's how they sold liquor.
Interesting. And then...
We didn't have liquor stores.
No. Wonder where it was made. Do you have any idea where it was made?
I have no idea. Wherever. liquor's made. I don't know where it's made. Some of it's imported.
Yeah. Today.
And maybe then.
Interesting. But you don't know.
Oh, I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea. He wasn't in the liquor business when I was a little girl, so I don't know.
And did your mother work?
No. My mother didn't work.
And were there...
Really, very few women worked in those days.
Certainly. And what was your home life like, religiously and...
Not terribly religious.
Not terribly religious.
I was confirmed by Dr. Goldenson.
At Rhoda
Shoal. We didn't keep a kosher house. And I don't remember our house as being particularly religiously inclined, so to speak.
Jane, and then when did you get married? When did you marry your husband?
1936.
And you had how many children?
Two.
And their names and their ages? Need it for the oral history.
Well, you have that. Beatrice Morrison. You would have that through her. And Marianna Spector.
And where are they now living?
In Pittsburgh.
Are they, have children?
Yeah.
And how many?
They each have two children.
And are they working, either one of your daughters?
Yes. Marianna's a lawyer.
And she's married to?
George Spector.
Okay.
Who's also a lawyer.
And how many children do they have?
Two. Catherine and Jonathan.
And your other daughter?
Beatrice has two daughters. Lisa and Abby.
And who is she married to?
Who's who married?
B.G.
Perry Morrison.
Okay. We talked about where these tapes go. They go into an oral history, and it's going to be at the Hillman Library. So there are a lot of things that I'm going to ask you that maybe you have right to presume that I know the answers, but we need it on the tape. So that's why I'm asking you these specific questions.
It seems to me, and this has nothing to do with the tape, seems to me my husband was interviewed quite
a while ago. He was.
So you would have most all of this information.
But we want to interview you, and we want
You're
to...
You're just duplicating information.
Not everything, Jane, because first of all, I think your husband, if I'm not mistaken, was interviewed in the 70s, I think.
I can
look it up.
I have no idea.
This is almost 20 years later.
That's right.
And what we do, Jane, quite often, in fact, many times, is we update interviews because somebody that gave us an interview in the 70s still has had impact on the community in a progressional way. So that's what we're basically. And also, we get a different perspective. We'd like to know more about Leo Lehman as well, and from your point of view. Each person. We started out with the oral history. The first oral history actually became a book, and it was called, you might know this, By Myself, I'm a Book. Okay, Mr. Adler, who owned the delicatessen on Murray Avenue, if you remember, he was approached by someone you might have known, Moss Amper.
Oh, yeah.
And Moss Amper was the one that interviewed him in the beginning to see if he wanted to be interviewed. That's how we did it in the beginning. And she started to, Mr. Adler says, well, what do you want? And actually he had this marvelous accent, and well, she says, we want to have an oral history, and at some point we might even be a book. And he says, ah, By Myself, I'm a Book. So you yourself...
Oh, is that where that came from?
That's where it came from. So you have things to say that possibly your husband didn't.
He was interviewed without
me. He was
me
interviewed...
Being...
Oh, absolutely. We do... In fact,
I understand that.
Yeah, I have... you interviewed your husband... 73, so we're talking 21 years ago. Okay. And when did your husband die?
11 years ago.
11 years ago.
It'll be 12 in September.
So 1983. I'd love you to tell us a little bit about Leo Lehman and also May Stearns and what your recollections were of the store and how it developed. I mean, it became...
Oh, we have a lot of stores. We did.
Right. Well, could you sort of give me sort of a mini history of how it started and how your husband got involved? And
well, I don't know. It started in Ohio.
Okay.
I have no idea how.
And then your father started.
And Leo Lehman, as a young man, was brought to Pittsburgh by David May to open May's Turning Company. And it was opened on Penn Avenue downtown Pittsburgh.
That was the first store?
Yes. And then we had a store in East Liberty at Penn and Island, a big store. And then we had a store in Steubenville, and we had a store in Greensburg. And, well, and of course there was the store in Cincinnati.
The Ohio was the, that was still stayed?
Yes, that was in Ohio.
And so how many people would you say were employed by this whole chain?
Okay.
And how did your husband get involved?
I assume after he met my mother. I don't know. I wasn't there.
No, how did your husband? Was your husband involved in May's Turn? Did your husband work?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that?
My husband came from Detroit.
Okay.
And I think my uncle was looking for, you know, some executives. And apparently my husband was recommended.
Is that how you met him, Jane?
And, yes, I met him because, as I say, he was brought to Pittsburgh, decided to come, and that's how I met him. See, I lived with my uncle and my grandmother after my father died. My mother died when I was 11.
So they raised you?
No, I lived with my father. My father really raised me.
Okay.
He never remarried. And then my father died when I was in college. And then since in those days, young ladies weren't supposed to live alone. And I wanted to live alone, but I wasn't allowed to.
That was quite an unusual thing to want to do.
Nice girls didn't live by themselves, I suppose. Certainly not nice Jewish girls. And so I went to live with my grandmother. And my uncle Leo Lehman, who had never married, he was one of five siblings and was the oldest, and had always sort of taken care of the whole family, so I was just one more person that kind of moved in and got taken care of.
And how long did you live there?
Oh, I lived there, I guess until I was married.
Which was when?
1936.
And where did you go to college, Jane?
Chatham.
So you didn't live on campus?
No.
No. What, could you have lived on campus in those days, I wonder? Was that Robert Morrison then, or was it Chatham?
Oh, no, it was never Robert.
Not Robert Morrison. BCW. Excuse me. Excuse me. Was it then? No, I know.
It was PCW when I
was. It was PCW. Okay. Pennsylvania College for Women.
That is right.
Okay.
No. There was no... It never would have dawned on me to live on campus.
Could you have, though?
I really don't know.
Yeah. So where did you live at that time?
Maybe I couldn't have.
Yeah.
I lived with my grandmother.
Which was where?
At the corner of Murray and Northumberland.
Yeah. I'm just sort of visually thinking where that is. It's right
here.
You know
where Shadyside Market is?
Right, okay. Where the firehouse is there,
okay,
right.
It's a block from the fire.
Right.
If you come up Murray Avenue, there's a stoplight there.
We walk by there when we go to Anathan House, and we park our car. We usually park
Well, you have
Murray.
A long walk, then.
It's fun.
That's a long walk. That house on the corner.
I love that. So your uncle never married?
I think he had too many responsibilities.
And what were they? He took on the business,
the family?
What was he like?
Oh, I just thought he was just a great, great person. Warm and dear and sweet. politically charitable and involved in city and
such
community
as?
Affairs. Well, I remember he gave a, probably still there, a totem pole to the zoo in Highland Park.
Did well, he really?
Yeah, it was a totem pole.
And who made the totem?
Well, it was made by the Indians out in, I think, the state of Washington.
And he bought it and then had...
He thought that would be an interesting thing for children to see a real totem pole. I'm sure it's still there somewhere on the
funny
ground.
Somehow
on the grounds
I think
of the zoo.
I think near the children's zoo somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere.
I think it has a park on it. I haven't seen it in years.
And what else did
and
this
he
involve?
Was president of Montefiore Hospital at one point. And he had something to do years ago with the Pittsburgh Symphony, but that was very early on.
Do you remember who the conductor was at that time?
No.
Not, it was even before Reiner, or?
Oh, I think it was before.
Wasn't Sousa?
No.
Never was?
No.
I'm trying to think of who. If Reiner was here when I came to Pittsburgh.
It may have been Reiner.
It was Fritz Reiner.
And he was very interested in housing in Pittsburgh. He was on the original housing board in the city of Pittsburgh.
He was?
Yeah.
And can you tell us, I mean, do you have any recollection? Did he discuss that with you, what that was like? And
no,
what it involved?
No, really. I know that some of the housing, which now must be simply dreadful up on the hill, but they have great views. They all overlook the rivers.
You're right.
He was very involved. Spent a lot of time on that house.
And do you remember him discussing, as he was president of Montefiore Hospital's board, that what it was like to be a Jewish physician at that time, and
oh yeah,
you have some recollection.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because I would hear that.
I'd like to hear that.
Well, all I know is, and of course I didn't sit in on any meetings. Was the fact that Jewish physicians could not be on the staff of other hospitals in the city only because they were Jewish. Not because they weren't capable of it. And, well, any of the old-timer ladies' hospital aid people better discuss that.
Well, it's very interesting, Jane. This is only the beginning. This information goes into a computer, and what happens is, very perceptive of you, what happens is, by interviewing as many people as we do, and this is why we want you, aside from your husband, what had happened, there is some, at some point, there is some correlation.
Oh, of course.
And, but the more information we get from different people, there are different time spans
mm-hmm.
and different perceptions, so it's very interesting. And in what year are we talking about when you would hear these stories about Jewish physicians not being able to?
Well, whenever he was president,
yeah.
I don't have those years. Yeah.
And what else was he very active in?
He was so involved in so many things. Seems to me he was always running to a meeting. American Jewish Committee.
I'd like to hear.
One of the, he and Leon Falk and my husband really all started AJC. I can remember meetings.
And could you?
Of, you know, just setting up for meetings of these people.
And what was the agenda? I mean, the...
Well, I had nothing to do with the agenda. I think it really all started when... after the Holocaust. And that's sort of a separate thing. And the fact that, you remember, there was a boatload of Jews that were turned away.
That Roosevelt turned away.
Yes,
yes.
That Roosevelt turned away.
But that was like in 40, from that, like 43, 44?
It,
before
yes,
the war
it was
over.
Early 40s.
Right.
And that disturbed Jews, I think, all over the United States terribly. And then they tried to get them returned down by islands and places.
Cuba.
And Cuba.
Jane, at that time, though, there was, unfortunately, I'm not judging this, this is just a fact, there was a faction of the Jewish community that was concerned. I mean, no one knew about the Holocaust at that point. It was only afterwards.
That is true. Okay. Well, I only said that because of a time.
Exactly.
A time.
No. This was just sort of to formulate my question, that there was some concern in the Jewish community at large that they certainly didn't want too many Jews to come to the United States. There was some feeling of immigration.
By who?
I don't remember what it was, where it was, and I was just curious.
You're talking about in Washington? Are you talking about administration?
No, not in the administration. This was something that was in part of the Jewish community that occurred, and I was just curious whether you knew anything about anything like that. Okay. Your concerns were that
well, because we brought over family from Germany.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you bring over, may I ask?
Oh, yes. Well, we brought over a man by the name of Alfred Oppenheimer, who's since passed away. Finally got his parents out, and they were in such bad shape that they went, Leo Lehman put them in the home for the aged, because they were not able to take care of themselves. We brought over Hamburger, Basil and Felix Hamburger.
And then that's Edie Blattner today, and
yes,
Marty. And
yes, and those people, this is sort of an interesting little side life.
Please tell us.
Came with Marty and Edie. I remember Edie as a little girl with a bonnet on. She was a baby. And they came to America on a trip just to see America. And they came to Pittsburgh, and I very well remember them being in the living room because I was fascinated with Edie because she was such a pretty little baby. My uncle begging them not to go back. Begging them. Well, of course, they thought, this man's got to be crazy. You know, we live there, we have big stores there.
What year was that? Do you remember?
No, just prior to the whole Hitler scene. But one of the reasons for that, I think, was we had been in Europe. It was my first trip to Europe, and I went with my uncle and my grandmother. And we were going to do some touring in Germany.
What year was that, Jane?
1932. And my uncle went to hear Hitler speak at a stadium. And he spoke fluent German because my great-grandmother had apparently lived with all of them as when they were all children. And when she came over from Germany, she didn't talk any English, so they all learned to talk German to her. You know, six or eight people was easier for them to learn German than for one person to learn English. Anyway, so be it. And at any rate, my uncle came back from that meeting. It wasn't a meeting, it was a rally. But this man that was rising out of the post-war Germany, First World War Germany, and promising, you know, everything. And when my uncle heard him, he came back and he said, we have to get out of Germany immediately. At that point, there were stormtroopers. I remember the stormtroopers. It was a new group of soldiers. They were just beginning to feel their power. And my uncle was, he was just frantic on this. And he said, the situation is so terrible. And you know, the Jews were sponsoring Hitler. Originally, because the economy at that point was terrible. And they were giving him money, figuring he's our savior for Germany. Well, you know what happened. And,
you know, I've never heard that before. Do you have any idea whether there was a group in Germany that did this?
Oh, the Jews that supported Hitler early on.
Early on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not printed. And I wouldn't want it printed. But we got out of Germany, and we went to England. Well, the whole thing was like a 3-week trip. Meanwhile, in Germany, they did look up some of our relations that were in Germany, the Zeppenheimers. I vaguely remember we saw them, I don't know what for, whether it was dinner or tea or whatever, so many years ago. So, of course, when the hamburgers were here, they thought, this is craziness. So we have stores and we have a home and we have this and we have that. Just like somebody would say to you, drop everything and get out and go to Nassau or somewhere. You'd think, boy, they're pretty crazy. Well, so you know what happened. And Felix Hamburger was taken just before they put him on a train to ship him to a camp. And we got them, my uncle got them out. Some way out of Germany, because I remember him saying to me, they're coming to Pittsburgh. Anybody came to Pittsburgh, he'd say, get him a place to live. He should have been in the real estate business. Sidney Bergman, who came as, remember, he was president of Monitor Hospital. Not president, did it?
He was the executive.
Executive director,
right,
before Irv Goldberg.
Right.
When he came to Pittsburgh, my uncle said, get him a place to live. I never saw any of these people. Arthur Mirsky came with the university from Cincinnati.
Get him a place to live.
Get him a place to live. Gee, they all like their places to live. You know, I'd say, how many children, and are they school age, and do they have to go to high school or grade school or whatever? How to get background.
You got practical, didn't you?
Oh, very. Well, you had to.
Certainly.
And, you know, in those days, kids didn't have cars that they went to school. They usually took the streetcar to go to school. At any rate, I got off the trolley. So we got them out, my uncle. And their relations on the other side in Pittsburgh were the Aarons, which you probably know.
Certainly.
Okay. So between the Aarons and my uncle, except they didn't get him places to live, I did. But they didn't get the mother out, her mother. And her mother ended up in a camp in the Pyrenees. And I think it was over 2 years that my uncle and the commandant of the camp were in correspondence.
Really? You don't know the name of the commandant? You don't know the name of the camp?
I know it was in the Spanish Pyrenees.
Interesting.
And it got to be a question of ransom. And this took a very long time. Because, of course, once the commandant figured he could make plenty of American bucks, was a question of how high is up. And I never did know how high was up. But finally.
Liesl's mother got out.
Yes. Charming culture.
What was her last name?
Not funny, I can't think. You'd have to ask
Edie.
Ask her.
For her brother.
Yeah.
Because she used to come and see my children, who were little. Fiji and me were little at the time, and she loved little children, and she'd always come with a gift. You know, it could be two little balls or tops, or it was always a little gift, and I used to say to her, don't do that, you know, they don't need presents, and poor soul, she didn't have anything.
But she still brought the present.
But she still said, oh, so good.
Miss Blaine.
Such joy. That's right, Miss Blaine. That's right. She always brought me to a little gift. I loved her. She was a dear, wonderful woman and very good looking. And she played the piano at the same time.
I know Edie's mother played the piano.
And she played the piano too. Very well.